Today's daf is Bava Batra Tev Vav. We're going to start at Yudalit at the bottom, at Sidran Shel Ketuvim. Okay, and here I made a chart for today about the order according to the Gemara, the order in the Koran Tanakh, and the order in Ketam Aram Tzova, which is what the Mosadar of Kuk, which is done by Rav Mordechai Breuer, he put together in the order of the Ketam Aram Tzova.
Mm-hmm.
When did what?
Is that older or newer?
It's not new.
The Ketam Aram Tzova is from Syria.
From Aleppo, the Aleppo Codex.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This was put out in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So let's look in the Gemara first. Sidran Shel Ketuvim. This is the way you order the Ketuvim. The main difference here, by the way, is going to be we generally talk about our... If you look in the Tanakh, let's say the Koran, okay, or even in... Right, I think it's the same, yeah. It's a little different in the Ketuvim and Tzova, but we have the Sifrei Emet, which are Iyov, Mishlei, and Tehillim, okay, which is reverse order in ours, okay, Tehillim, Mishlei, Iyov. Then we have the Megillot, okay, you can look in the middle section there. And then we have Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Divrei Hayamim, okay, it's like the last part. But we're going to see here that according to the Bavli tradition, they didn't have that Chalukah at all. They didn't put the Megillot together. Sidran Shel Ketuvim, root is first, B'Sefer Tehillim v'Iyovu Mishlei, Kohelet Shir HaShirim v'Kinot, Daniel Megillat Esther, Ezra v'Divrei Hayamim. Can you figure out what the order is here? It's basically chronological. Okay? Root is B'Yimei Shvot HaShoftim, she obviously came before David. Tehillim is David. Iyov, well, Iyov is a little bit tricky. We'll talk about when Iyov lived and why. Okay, so obviously this one seems to put him around the time of David and Shlomo. Then there's Mishlei, Kohelet, and Shir HaShirim, which were all put together by Shlomo. Kinot, right, in the time of the Churban. Then Daniel, Esther, Ezra, V'Divrei Hayamim, right? Daniel and Esther, all that is in, you know, the time of the Churban. And then Shivat Zion in Ezra. And then Divrei Hayamim is like the last book of Chronicles that basically starts in the beginning and goes to the end. Okay. Then, if you look in... Okay, so first of all, we discussed yesterday that also Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yeshayahu, according to the Bavli, interestingly, is not chronological, right? So if this part is definitely chronological, the earlier part is not chronological because Yeshayahu lived first, before Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. So, or he started first. So basically... It seems strange that the second part should be chronological and the first part isn't, okay? But maybe there was some reason, right? Remember, well, we know the reason. The Bavli said yesterday that the reason was they wanted to put Churban to Churban, then from Churban to Churban v'Nechama, which is Yechezkel, and then from there to Nechama, which is Yeshayahu. Now, by the way, if you view it this way, you could see, I didn't talk about this yesterday, but you want to end a book on a happy note. We've seen this in Tanakh in a number of cases. Where do we see it? That if a book ends negatively, we repeat, right, when we say it, we repeat the pasuk before in order to have it not end on a negative note. So here you can see that maybe the Bavli was motivated that they wanted to end the Sifrei Nevuah, although there is Trasar after, but I guess if you look at, you know, they kind of wanted the flow to be ending toward Nechama. Okay, so now... So we have, according to this, the order is somewhat chronological, or mainly chronological, of the Ketuvim, and the Megillot are not a separate unit that go together. And then, if you look at the difference between the Ketam Aram Tzova and the current Tanakh, now first of all, our Megillot, in our basic Tanakh, the Koran, is organized based on when we read them during the year. So Shir HaShirim starts with Pesach, Rut Shavuot, Echa Tisha B'Av, Kohelet, Sukkot, Esther, Adar, Pes Purim. Okay, so basically it's chronological. Not in terms of when it happened, but chronological in terms of when we read it. It's a very practical chalukah. Okay, and then you have Tehillim, Mishlei, Iyov. I don't know why, if you notice here, Tehillim, Mishlei, and Iyov are ordered in different orders also. In the Gemara, it's Tehillim Iyov Mishlei. In our Gemara, in our Tanachim, it's Tehillim Mishlei Iyov. And in the Ketar Aram Tzova, it's like in the Gemara, Tehillim Iyov Mishlei. And one major difference is the Ketar Aram Tzova puts Divrei Hayamim in the beginning. Okay, because it starts in the beginning, right? Divrei Hayamim starts with the chronology of all the people. And the other difference is that the order of the Megillot is also different. Right, and that's also more chronological in terms of when they were written. So the Keter Arim Sova leans more toward a chronological, and that's why Divrei Hayamim starts first. Right, it's actually more chronological than the Gemara because Yeshayahu comes first, and then it goes to Yirmiyahu, Chezkel, Treasar, then Divrei Hayamim, Tehillim, which is again David, Iyov. Again, we'll leave aside right now. Mishle is Shlomo. Rut. Now here, they kind of want to split it into the Sifrei Emet and then the Megillot. So again, within, right, Ruth's not going to come first, but Ruth's going to come first to the Megillot, because chronologically it came first, David, right, before David, it preceded David, then Shir HaShirim, then Kohelet, right, those two were Shlomo's books, and Kohelet, they say he wrote it at the end of his life, right, that's why it's this depressing book and complaining about all sorts of, right, looking back at life with a different eye. Then, again, Echa, Esther, Daniel, Ezra, right, is all chronological, okay? Starting from the Churban to the Galut to Shivat Zion. Okay, so those are all a bunch of different things about the order. As you see here, you know, there's, you know, it's not a halacha, like what the order of the Tanakh has to be, and that's why different Masoret kind of develop. Clearly, the one in our Gemara is the Bavli Masoret. But they claim that the Keter Arim Sova is based on a Tiveria Masoret, okay, so from Israel. That it was based on the Masoret Eretz Israel that was different from the Bavli.
Is it different in the Yerushalmi?
I don't know if this appears in the Yerushalmi at all. I didn't see any sources. I didn't look, but I didn't see in things I read anyone quoted anything from it, so I don't know. Okay, so now we're going to talk about Iyov. There's a whole debate about when Iyov lived. Okay, this is a very interesting debate. We'll talk about it more. Ulamanda amar Iyov bime Moshe haya liktime li'Iyov bereisha. Right, so why did we start then with Iyov? If Iyov lived in the time of Moshe, then we should have started with Iyov. If somebody wants to put down the trees, if it's bothering, you can do that. So what do we answer? Itchule bepurinuta lo matchalinan. Right, we don't want to start with such a, the top one. We don't want to start with such a negative, not all the way though, you have to stop it. We don't want to stop with a majorly negative book like Iyov, right? It's a difficult book. So we don't want to start with that. Just like we want to end with the Nechama, right? It's the same kind of idea. So, Rut nami poranuti, but wait a minute, Rut had a lot of terrible things happening, right? So that's also a bad book. Why would we start with Rut? So what do they answer, obviously? Puranuti ilah harid has a happy ending, right? Whereas Iyov, now it's true, Iyov has a happy ending also, but his happy ending is not exactly such a happy ending. But Rut, at least, there is a good happy ending. To Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lama nikra shma Rut, sheyatza mimenu David, sherivau hakadosh baruch hu b'shirot v'tishbachot. Why is her name Rut? Because rivau, like rivaya, satiated. God satiated her with shirot v'tishbachot. So therefore, it's a positive ending. Umik Tavan. Okay, so now, right now, the Gemara assumes that Iyov lived in the time of Moshe. We're going to get to the whole debate soon about Iyov and when he lived. But in the meantime, that was the first Gemara's assumption. They're saying, at least according to that person, why didn't they put it in the beginning? We can answer that. They certainly didn't want to start with Iyov. I also think it would have deterred people from reading on. Such a complicated book. Umiktavan Moshe. Umiktavan. So who wrote all these books now? Okay, now we're going to get into who wrote the books of Tanakh. Okay, again, this is the Masoret HaBavli. Not everybody agrees with it. I don't know if we'll get it today, but I quoted it on the other side of your sheet. There's the Hakdama of the Ramban to the Nach. I'm sorry, the Hakdama of the Abarbanel to Nach. And he basically talks about, he says that there's all these problems. I'll even preface this before we even get into it. Maybe we'll just talk about it for a minute. With all the assumptions of the Gemara as to who wrote the books, there's problems with it, okay? Like to say that somebody wrote, okay, let's say Yehoshua wrote Yehoshua. Okay, what's the problem? Now, this is what all the biblical critics raise, which is all throughout, even in the Torah, it says sometimes, and it's here ad hayom hazeh. So if someone's writing, and it's here till this day, well, obviously, they're living at a later time in history. It doesn't make sense that Yeshua would be writing in this book, and it's still here until this day. Okay, and there's all sorts of psukim that are problematic. You can read it in the Abarbanel. And he has this great line, which I underlined, okay? And he says, and he basically has his own theory, and he rejects a lot of the Gemara as to who wrote what books based on these psukim. Okay, again, he takes it one way. The biblical critics take it in other directions, right? That these books were written much later and they weren't written by these people at all and blah, blah, blah. But now, I'm not going to bring up, you can read it through, all the different psukim he brings that are problematic. He talks about things that happen in Sefer Yoshua that really happened later, and it's clear, you know, that there's references to things. So now it says, Al titma al asher natiti midat chazal bezeh. Don't worry that I'm basically rejecting the Gemara, okay? Ki gam b'gemara lo eskimu b'dvarim ha'ele. Even in the Gemara, there were differences of opinion. B'chulku sham im Moshe katav Sefer Iyov, v'im katav Yoshua shmona psukim ha'atarana. We haven't read this all yet, but we'll see that there's some machlokot about these things. B'charei shechazal atzman sapku b'ktzat ha'ma'amar, right? Since they themselves were disagreeing about it, eino me'abatel shegam ani avchar b'ktzato, he says, so I can make up my own shop, basically. Okay? He says, that gives me the authority. Once they already disagree, so they have their opinions. I'm looking at the psukim and trying to figure out my own theories. Okay. Anyway, it's a good article to read, a good text. So now, Moshe wrote his book. Okay, what is Sifro? Okay, Sifro, some people say it's Sefer Dvarim. Some people say it's the whole Torah, right? Most people say it's the whole Torah. U'parashat Bil'am. Now, obviously, it's going to be complicated. If you say he wrote the whole Torah, then why are you saying he also wrote Parashat Bil'am? The assumption is Parashat Bil'am is what we know is Parashat Bil'am. Now, some people say, he wrote Dvarim and he wrote Parashat Bil'am. Some people say he wrote Parashat Bil'am is some external text. It's not something that's, it's some other section, stuff about Bil'am. It's also difficult to say that because we mentioned Parashat Bil'am that people said we should read that in Kriyat Shema. I don't know if you remember this. What's the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema? Some people say you're supposed to read Parashat Bil'am, okay, which the assumption is it's not about Parashat Bil'am in our Torah. Some people say that they specifically want to tell you that he also wrote that. Like, don't think he didn't write that, but he also wrote that. The motivation for doing that, I'm trying to remember now what they said. I guess they didn't want to think that maybe. Right, it has nevuah, so maybe, I don't remember. There was a reason to be motivated to say that, you know, by the way, don't think he didn't write that. The Eov, okay, he also wrote Eov. Okay, Yoshua katav sifro u'shmona psukim shabatorah. Okay, these I brought on the sheet. Okay, you can look at your sheet. What are the shmona psukim? Right, so very in parak lamedal, the last psukim. I wanted to show you there's 12 psukim in the last parak. So he wrote the first four, which is he goes up to Arvot Moav, you know, and then Hashem says, this is the land in Veshamalot Avor, right? You won't go here. Moshe wrote that. And then, starting from Pasukei, those are the eight psukim that are debatable. It says, Vayamat Sham Moshe Ved Hashem Beretz Moav Opi Hashem, he gets buried, etc. Okay, Lokam Navi Obi Yisrael Kam Moshe, etc. So, how could he have written them if he died, right? So, obviously, someone else wrote them, okay? So Yoshua wrote his own book and Shmona Sukim Shabbat Torah. Shmuel Katav Sifro, okay, which is a little problematic because he dies at the end of Shmuel Aleph, okay? But obviously it means he wrote until there. Vishoftim Birut, okay, and he also wrote Shoftim Birut. David Katav Sefer Tehilim al Yidei Asaraz Kenim, al Yidei Adam Rishon, al Yidei Malkit Tzedek, al Yidei Avram, al Yidei Moshe, al Yidei Heman, al Yidei Dutan, Yudutu. Okay, why does it say that these people helped him write it? Because of all the intros, right? The Lamanaseach, Livnei Korach, Mizmor. And, you know, all these people are mentioned in Tehillim in various places in the intro psukim. By the way, I studied Tehillim in university, and there they talk about the fact that those lines were often added later. Okay, those are later editions. Okay, but the Gemara takes them very literally, as if these were written by these people, actually. And therefore, he says these people must have helped him. Yirmiyahu katav sifro, obviously they did all live when he lived, right? So it means that he took things that were written by them and compiled them. Yirmiyahu katav sifro v'sefer melachim v'kinot. Okay, what did he write? His book, Yirmiyahu. He wrote Sefer Melachim, which talks about the Churban, which makes sense, right? By the way, if I remember correctly, the end of, right, Yirmiyahu ends the same way that Malachim ends. There's something there about, this goes on all the time about Makbilo Mikra. But I think also there's like the exact wording near the end of his book that's very similar to the end of Malachim. Maybe because of that they wanted to connect it. But both are books that basically lead to the Churban and talk about the Churban as the major theme. Again, whether these people actually wrote it or whether the rabbis are trying to connect things to each other, Right? It's similar to the Midrashim. The Midrashim prefer to say that, you know, the two people fighting are Datan and Aviram, right? We call it the law of diminishing personalities, right? That you want to just have fewer people, right, consolidating. So here, they're trying to consolidate, right, that connect books together, connect concepts. And I think this really, when we get it to Eov, and we talk about who Eov was and when he lived, I think that's also, they're trying to connect concepts. I don't think they're really arguing about what happened historically, okay? Who actually wrote this book, but connecting themes among books. The keynote, okay, and obviously also Echa, we connect with Yirmiyahu. Okay, because it says, right, because Yirmiyahu was mikonen about the Chorban. Chizkiyahu v'siyato katvu, this is the Rashi Tevot, to remember, Yamshak, okay? Yishayahu, Mishle, Shira, Shirin v'Kohelet. Okay, this is strange because we know that Shlomo wrote Kohelet, right? So the assumption I assume here is that they kind of put it together, okay? So Chizkiyahu was a king, right? So he wrote these books. Some people say it's very problematic to say he wrote Yeshayahu, right? Because right, Yeshayahu was killed by Menashe, who was his son, okay? So obviously, right, he was dead before Menashe. Chizkiyahu was dead before Menashe. So he obviously couldn't have finished Yeshayahu. He didn't outlive Yeshayahu. Anshe Knesset Hagdolat Katvu Kandag, okay, which is Yechezkel Shnemasar, right? It would be difficult to call it a Yud because Yirmiyahu Yechezkel. It's interesting. The first time they call it a Yud for Yeshayahu, but for Yechezkel they call it a Kuf in the Siman. Ushnemasar, okay, also Nun instead of Shin. It's a little tricky there, these Rashi Tevot. Daniel and Megillat Esther, which also the Gimel for Megillat Esther is a little strange. Okay. Ezra Katav, okay, here, because he, right, these are all the books that are connected with the end of Tkufat HaNevuah, and, right, the end of the Chorban and the Shivat Zion, you know, through, like, the Chorban through till the end of Shivat Zion. Before Shivat Zion, until the Galut. Ezra Katav Sifro V'Yachas Shel Divrei Yamim Adlo. He wrote his own book, and he wrote the chronology in Sifri Divrei Yamim until his time. Okay? Up until his life. Okay. Period. That's the end of this Braita. Miseyele L'Rav. This supports Rav. Da'am Rav Yehud Amar Rav. Lo Ala Ezra Mi Bavel Ad Shiches Atzmo Ve'Ala. Ezra didn't go up to Bavel until he took care of proving who he came from. Okay, which means, right, it makes sense then that he put together this chronology. It's almost a way of sort of explaining why is there a list of this whole chronology. It was Ezra's intent to do that before he went back to Tzion to kind of show who he was and where he came from. Uman Aske, and who finished the book? Nehemiah ben Chachelia, right? Nehemiah. Okay, he finished up the book once Ezra died. Amar Mar, Yoshua Katav Sifro Shmona Psukim Shabatoha. Okay, so now we're going back to different sections of this Braita. So Yeshua wrote his book in the last eight psukim. Tanya, this Braita goes, Kemanda Amar Shmona Psukim Shabatoha Yoshua Katavan. Ditanya, Vayamacha Moshe Eved Hashem, Efshar Moshe, what's the word there? It should be changed to Efshar Moshe Chai V'Katav, right? Could he have been alive and wrote about his own death before he died? Vayamacha Moshe, right? V'Katav, Vayamacha Moshe, and he wrote, and Moshe died. Ela Adkan Katav Moshe, Mikam Ela Katav Yoshua, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and that matches this Braita. V'Amar La Rabbi Nechemia, some people say it was Rabbi Nechemia Shita. Amar La Rabbi Shimon, Efshar Sefer Torah Chaser Ot Echad? Could it be a Sefer Torah is called a Sefer Torah when it's missing letters? And the Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote must have been complete. Why? Because it says, K'tiv lakoch et Sefer HaTorah hazeh. We saw that pasuk yesterday, right? Take this Sefer Torah, he says. Meaning, he had a physical Sefer Torah in his hand, and it couldn't have been chaser. He couldn't have called it a Sefer Torah if it was missing words. So based on that pasuk, or maybe something else was motivated to him, then not exactly that pasuk. Ela ad kana kadosh baruch hu omer u'moshe omer v'kotev. Until that point, what would happen? God would dictate, and Moshe would say and write. Okay, he would both say it out loud, and he would write it. Mikam va'elach hakadosh baruch hu omer u'moshe kotev b'dema. From those last eight psukim, God dictated to him. Moshe wrote it while he was crying. Okay, he didn't say it out loud, and he was crying. K'moshe nemar lahalan. Okay, now we're going to see that this concept of dictation existed in that time. Okay, now not that time, because now they're going to quote from Yirmiyahu. By Yom Alehem Baruch, if you remember, there's this Baruch, there's this Baruch character in Yirmiyahu, and it says, he was the sofer, and they said people will read to me and I will write it on the sefer bidyo. Okay, so there you see the people, there was such a concept of dictation, and therefore that must have been how Moshe wrote the last eight psukim. So there's a big debate about whether he wrote them or not. Obviously, I think the concept is, you know, to keep the whole there's this concept that Moshe wrote the Torah, people want to keep it. Moshe wrote the entire Torah, so what that he wrote about his own death? It's conceivable that he did, right? That's what that shita says. Keman az lahad amar Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba amar Rabbi Gidel amar Rav. According to who is this said? Shmona psukim shabatorah yachid koreotam. So now there's this concept that only one person. Okay, there's many different ways of understanding what this means. Yachid koreotam. Some people says yachid means a great person, okay, someone important, a talmid chacham. Some people, which connects with the yachid mumche, we'll see that when we get to Sanhedrin. That instead of having three dayanim, you can have a yachid mumche. Okay, so maybe that's what a yachid means. Some people say it means you can't split it between two people. Okay, so if you cut the aliyot and people, you know, different people read, you can't do that. Some people say it means that you can't have someone ole le Torah and a different person read. It has to be the same person who gets the aliyah who also reads. Okay, there's all different interpretations. There's more than what I'm saying now. Anyway, there's some unique halacha that yachid korei otam. So the question is, who does this go according to? Lema Rabbi Yehuda, he do loka Rabbi Shimon. Say, it must be Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda said that Yeshua wrote them, and these eight psukim are different, and maybe they also don't want it to be viewed, right, exactly. Again, it depends, right, if you say it's someone important, then it doesn't really make so much sense. If Yeshua wrote them, then maybe they're less important, you don't need such a chashuv person. But maybe if you say that they have to be read all by one person, we don't want... Maybe it's like the Haftarah, that we have the same person read Maftir that reads Haftarah, so that we don't have this kind of lack of respect, that someone's getting up just to read those and not the ones before, and maybe it means someone, yeah, the same person reads them who read before. It's unclear exactly. But then they say, no, Afilu Tamar Rabbi Shimon, ho, we have Ishtanu, Ishtanu. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, these were written differently than the other ones, right? They were written by Moshe crying, and he didn't recite them. So maybe because of that, they're different, and therefore they have a different halacha about them, and someone has to read them as a unit. Okay. Yeshua katav sifro. So now we're going to have the same problem with all these other books. Didn't he die, right? Bahaktiv, at the end of the book it says, Vayamat Yeshua binun, Eved Hashem. So what do we answer? Da'aske Elazar, Elazar, Koyim finishes it. But wait a minute, right? That's the son of Aaron. V'haktiv ve'elazar ben Aaron made. Okay, four psukim later it says, Elazar also dies at the end of Sefer Yoshua. So what do they answer? Aske Pinchas. Pinchas finished it up. Shmuel katav sifro. V'haktiv, right? So what about Shmuel? Ushmuel mate, right? So what about that? Aske Gad Achozeh v'Natan HaNavi. Okay, Gad Achozeh and Natan HaNavi finished it up. Now there's a huge difference here, as I mentioned earlier, because here we're talking about the end of Shmuel Aleph, and there's a whole Shmuel Bet, right? As opposed to just finishing up a few psukim at the end of Moshe's life, at the end of Yeshua's life, at the end of Elazar's life. Okay, there we're talking about a few psukim. Here we're talking about, right? Obviously, the next Nevi'im, Gad Achozeh and Natan HaNavi, are mentioned a lot in the Nevuot of that time. They must have been the ones to finish it up. David Katav Sefer Tehillim al Yedei Saraz Kini. V'lichshuv Nami Eitana Ezrachi. What about him? He's also mentioned in one of the Sifrei Tehillim. Amar Rav, Eitana Ezrachi Zeu Avraham. That's Avraham. And we already mentioned Avraham. How do we know Eitana Ezrachi is Avraham? D'chtiv hacha Eitana Ezrachi. Uktiv hatam. What does it say there? It says by... right, this is the pasuk in Yeshayahu. It says, Mi he'ir mi mizrach tzedek v'chulei. Which is, right, they're saying... Right, what's the connection? Mizrach Tzedek is who came from the east, right? That was basically
Hashem instructing Abraham to leave. Sometimes.
Right, but how's that connected with Eitan Ezrachi? I forgot the connection here.
Came from the east.
Yeah, but why Eitan Ezrachi?
The subject of the verse is God.
I don't remember. One second. Eitan Ezrachi. Oh, it has to do with the content of Tehillim there, as far as I remember. I have to see one second. Right, he's called Eitan because it says B'Yerach Eitanim, and they said Yerach Shanolabo Eitanei HaOlam, that that's the Avot, and they connect that. Mi'ir Mizrach. Eitan Ezrachi Abraham. Maybe because Mizrach, maybe Ezrachi, that must be their connection, that they're connecting Ezrachi to Mizrach. He came from the east, and that's referring to Abraham, and therefore they're saying he must be the one who's the Ezrachi. Okay, and Eitan connects to the Avot. Okay. Kachashiv Moshe v'kachashiv Heman, but they list Moshe here, and they list Heman as two separate people. Right. First we said, right, why is someone missing? Now we're saying there's extra. V'hamarav, Heman ze Moshe. Don't we call Moshe Heman? Isn't that another name for him? So we're going to have two answers. K'tiv ha'cha, how do we know that Moshe's Heman? Because k'tiv ha'cha Heman. K'tiv ha'tam b'chol b'iti ne'emanu. He's the most ne'eman in my house. So therefore, Heman is ne'eman. That must be Moshe. So what's the answer? Tre Heman havu. There were two different Hemans. One is Moshe, and one is another character called Heman. Okay. Moshe Katan, this is the opposite of the consolidating, right? We're Dafka saying there's a new person, and we didn't know that. Moshe Katav Sifro, Parsha Pilam V'Iyov. Misayele, this supports the Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma. Da'am Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma, Iyov Bimei Moshe Haya, makes sense, right? This supports the Shita that Iyov lived in the time of Moshe. K'tiv Hacha, how do we know he lived in the time of Moshe? Now we're going to have a very interesting proof of how we know when Eov lived, okay? For all, we're going to have a series of, right, of when Eov lived, okay? We saw before, the first opinion we saw was that he was Moshe. This is the one we're seeing now. Why? Because there's a very strange formulation that we see that Moshe uses, and a very strange formulation in Sefer Eov. So it must be that that's proof that he must have lived in the same time period, because why else would they have used these words in only these two places, in this kind of a way? Okay? So, mi yitain efo v'yichtavun milai, this is an Eov, right? Who will make it that my words get written down? The use of the word efo. Uktiv hatam ubemeyi vada efo. Okay, here's a pasuk that Moshe says. Meyi vada efo ki matzati chayim be'enecha, ani v'ami, halo b'dachtayim, anu v'naflinu, ani v'amcha, this is in Shmuel Lamed Gimel, after the luchot are broken. Okay, how will I know? Efo. So what do we say? Both these uses of the word efo are strange, and therefore it must be it was in the time of Moshe. It's a very interesting argument, right? That word usage, right, is very periodic, right? It's by periods. Obviously, when you're talking about periods that aren't so far off from each other, it's not so clear. Anyway, we'll talk about this later. We'll get back to it. Ve'ema b'mei Yitzchak. But wait a minute, this word efo is used in other places also. Dichtiv, mi efo hu atzad tzayid. Ve'ema b'mei Yaakov, dichtiv im ken efo zot asu. Ve'ema b'mei Yosef, dichtiv efo heim ro'im. Okay, so what are the answer? Okay, so that's not, forget the efo. That's a bad proof because it's used in other times also. Lo salkadatach dichtiv, it must be because of this. Mi yitem b'sefer v'yachoku, who will put this down in a book and make the law, right? Said it is law, that's an Eov. U'moshe hu de'ikre mechokek. And who's the one who's the mechokek, right? Dichtiv v'yari shilo kisham chalkat mechokek safun. This is in Hazinu. Okay, so therefore we must say that this must be in the time of Moshe. Again, it's a little strange because it's just a use of words. Okay, we'll get back to it. Rava Amar, second opinion, Iyo bimei meraglim haya. He was during the time of the meraglim. K'tiv hacha, how do we know this? This could be another strange proof. Yish haya be'eretz utz, Iyov shmo. U'k'tiv hatam, what did Moshe tell the people to look for in Eretz Yisrael? Hayesh ba'etz. First of all, by the way, bimei meraglim is also bimei Moshe. So, it's, right, it's already making us think this is a little bit strange what's going on here, okay? So, again, I think I'll already preface it. Figure out where I'm going. I don't think it's a matter of when did he live chronologically. That's not what's important to them. I think what they're trying to do, and I think the reason why they're using words is they're using literary devices to connect Eov to events or people or, right, if we connect Eov to Moshe, what are we basically doing, right? We're putting Eov in the same category as Moshe Rabbeinu. We're trying to say we see a connection between Eov and Moshe. If we put him in the time of the Meraglim, right, same time of Moshe, but we're connecting him, we want you to think about the story of the Meraglim and the story of Eov and somehow connect those stories. I think it's like a Parshanut thing, right? How do we view him? Later we're going to see Avraham, which many people make a very strong comparison between Avraham and Eov. Okay, the main comparison being they both were over a very big Nisayon, Okay, the Nisayon is the big thing. And if you look at the wording, there's a lot of words that are similar to the Avram story, and that's why, I don't know if you've read, I'm sure you've heard all these stuff about the Satan at the Akedah. Where does that come from? It comes from Eov. Because the Satan appears in Eov in the Psukim. It doesn't appear in the Akedah in the Psukim, but because the stories are similar, the rabbis brought the Satan from Eov into the Avraham story, and they made it as if he was going through the same thing, that there's a Satan there who's trying, you know, I don't know if you know these Midrashim about it, he was trying to get there and all sorts of things. The Satan kept blocking him and putting a river in front of him and making it very difficult for him to get to do the Nisayon. Okay, so now, Eov Meraglim Haya. I don't know the connection between why they would want to make him in the Meraglim. You can think about it. So why Isha Eretz Utz? And it says Moshe said Hayesh Ba Eitz. Go look and see if there's an Eitz. Eitz Utz must be the same. So obviously the Gemara says Mi Dave. What do you mean? These things aren't similar. I shouldn't say obviously. Sometimes the Gemara right connects them and thinks, oh, it's totally fine. But Hacha Utz, Hacha Eitz. So they say, no, Hachi Ka'amar Lehu Moshe Israel. This is what Moshe was telling them when he said Hayesh Ba Eitz. He says Yeshno Lo'Oto Adam Sheshnotav Arukot Ke'etz. There's a person that I want you to look for when you go to check out the, you know, Eretz Yisrael, who's like a tree, and he protects his generation, like, and he's lived very long like a tree. He's protects his generation like a tree, which also, here's a concept that we want to make Eov eternal, right? He lived through many generations. Because why? Because the concept of Eov is, right, it's a mashal. It's something that pervades every generation, Sadiq Biralo, how we deal with it, etc. Yativ umay rabbanan kamed rabbi shmuel bar nachmani v'yativ ka'amar Eov lo haya v'lo nivra ela mashal haya. Okay, here we have a different interpretation. He didn't live in the time of Moshe. He didn't live in the time of the Meraglim. Okay, it was, he never happened. It's just a mashal. Amar le, what does he say back to him? Rabbi shmuel bar nachmani alecha amar kra ish haya be'eretz utzi yav shmo. That's exactly why, to counter people like you, it specifically says his name was Eov, he lived in this city, in order to teach people that he existed. Okay, so then they say, wait a minute. Ela me'at hava larash en kol ki'im kipsachat ktana asher kana v'yechayeha. Mi hava ela mashal ba'alma. Okay, and the mashal of the rash, the kipsat harash, if you remember this whole mashal, in Sefer Shmuel. What?
That Natan said to David?
Right, that Natan says to David about the poor, and if he has, well, I won't get into the mashal, but it's just a mashal, and there it goes into extreme detail about it. Okay? So, hachanami, mashal ba'alma, right? So again, they say, though, but in king, shmo v'shem yirat, lama, even if it's a mashal, still it didn't need to mention his name and where he lived. Okay, again, one could argue that. Maybe it should just make it more real. Okay, so there's this concept of lo haya v'lo nivra. I want to just stop for 1 minute and read this keta from the Mora Nevuchim. Okay, I put it on your sheet. It's at the bottom of the first side. Parshat Eov ha-mufla'a v'nifla'a y'misug masha anachnu bo klomar shu mashal le-be'or hashkafat b'nei adam v'hashkacha. Okay, ukvar yadati ma'amar ha mehem b'feirush. Okay, here are the Rambam. Mora Nevuchim quotes this Gemara. Eov lo haya v'lo nivra ela mashal haya. Vasher chashav shuaya v'nivra v'shu ma'aseh shaya lo yadalo lo zman v'lo makom. Okay? In other words, the Rambam, even though the Gemara kind of rejects this opinion, he says it's clear that Eov didn't live in a particular time, in a particular place. Ela chanam ha-chachamim ha-yashayav yimei avot, v'chanam ha-shayav yimei Moshe, v'chanam ha-shayav yimei David, etc. Okay, we'll get to all those opinions. That specifically gives them, right, more credence. Ben haya ben lo haya, and here he says, really doesn't matter whether he existed or not. Okay, etc. And then he basically says, it's a mashal that's for all generations. And that's his point. And that's why I think also the rabbis, I think I like his argument, it's also the way I read it, that the reason they're kind of putting him in all different generations is they're trying to say, they're not necessarily disagreeing with each other, they're saying we see references to Eov all over. Because Eov is a theme that comes up all the time. Okay, it's a recurring theme in every generation. So Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar de Amrit Travayu, Eov me olea gola haya. Now we're skipping many generations, right? He came back from the Galut, okay? Ubeit midrasho b'tveria haya, okay? And he, right, his Beit Midrash was in Tveria. Meitive, here's a koshi. Yimesh notav shel Eov, misha'ashenech nesu Yisrael le Mitzrayim va'ad shiyatzu. How could he have lived in the Oleg Olat? It says that the years of Eov were from when the Jews went into Mitzrayim until they left. Again, this is right. Again, there's different ways of doing the count, but, you know, 210, 204, I forget the exact, 200 and something, right? And as if you count, it's 400 years, but they count that from the beginning, right? There's all these debates about the numbers. Anyway, right, trying to say he lived a long time, but also he lived in a particular time. So what are they saying now? Do you misunderstood that line? Ema kim misha'ash nechnesu Yisrael l'Mitzrayim ba'ad she'ash yetzu. It's talking about the amount of years and not when. It's not chronology, it's how many years. Ba'ad she'ash yetzu. Okay, meitive. Another question. Shiva nevi'im nitnab'u le'umot ha'olam. Okay, here, this is seven nevi'im that were among the non-Jews that were nevi'im. Ve'eluhem, Bil'am ve'aviv, Bil'am his father, Eov, so now obviously the biggest problem is he's not Jewish. How can he be from Olei Gola if he's not Jewish? Right, Olei Gola, obviously we're Jews. Eliphaz ha'Temani, u'b'l'dad ha'shochiv et'sofar ha'namati, ve'eliu ben Brachel ha'buzi. These are all Eov's so-called friends, right? They're hard to call them friends because of all the things they say to him, but they're so-called friends. And all these people are, right, v'litamech, Eliu ben Brachel, lav Yisrael hava. But now they're saying, if you claim that this means they were all non-Jews, and that's a question, also Eliu ben Brachel was not Yisrael, v'haktiv mimishpachat Ram, which is a Jewish family. So how could it be? So Ela inabuye in be'li umot ha'olam. It must be, why is Eliu ben Brachel on this list? It's not, right, if you noticed when I read it, I kind of very quickly translated without getting into it, but it actually says Shivanivim Namu Li Umot HaOlam, not who were from Umot HaOlam, it's to the Umot HaOlam. So Hachanami, you could say the same with Eov. Eov Inbuye Inve Li Umot HaOlam. He prophesies for non-Jews, and that's what it means by the Sprite, and therefore it's not a question. So now I say, wait a minute. Atu Kulu Nevi'im Milo Inabue Li Umot HaOlam, what, other Nevi'im didn't go give nevuot to non-Jews? We see that across the board. Many of the Nevi'im spoke to non-Jews also and gave prophecies to them. So Hatam, right, I mean, the main one missing here is Yonah, right, obviously goes to Nineveh and gives them a prophecy. But they were all throughout. So what did it say? And this answer doesn't really answer the Yonah question. Hatam ikar nevuotayu l'Yisrael. Hacha ikar nevuotayu l'umot ha'olam. Okay, so again, Yonah really should be in this list if that's the real interpretation. Okay, maybe the others you could say, fine. But their main nevuot were for non-Jews. Which is also interesting to say that Eov's main nevuot were for non-Jews. Like, where, you know, it's unclear. But I guess, again, maybe they're viewing Eov here as a universal book. It's not specifically a Jewish book. Okay, Meitive. Chassid haya be'umot ha'olam ve'Eov shmo. Here it says explicitly there was a chassid be'umot ha'olam, right, a righteous Gentile, and his name was Eov. Ve'lo bala olam ela kadei lekabel scharo. Why did he come into this world? To get his reward in this world. Hevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu alav yisurin. Hitchil mecharef u'megadef. Right, he started cursing God. Kafalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu scharo ba'olam hazeh kadei letardo min ha'olam haba. Okay, so God, yeah, it's a very difficult source here. According to this source, he was a chassid b'umot ha'olam, but the idea was to give him reward in this world, you know, obviously after he had all his suffering, cause him to curse God so that he'll get suffering in the future world, you know, and all of his reward will come to him in this world. Okay, difficult source to swallow. Okay, so now here you have it. He was, according to this, a non-Jew. So how do you resolve this? So what do they answer? Very simply, Tanai, it's a machlokat Tanaim, whether he was Jewish or not Jewish. It's a very interesting debate that they're having about Eov. Who, right? They're struggling. I think also the way everyone struggled to understand Eov, right? They're struggling also to figure out who was he, where did he live, was he Jewish, was he not Jewish? Because it's a book that's so disconnected from everything else and so different from all the other books of Tanakh that the rabbis are struggling to kind of fit him into some sort of existing structure, which goes back to the same idea about consolidating, right? He must have lived in some time that corresponded or had some connection, right? Like to say that he and Moshe had some connection to each other, right? That Moshe said, go look for this guy, right? It's a way of saying that they connected with Eov, as opposed to saying he was this character that had absolutely nothing to do with anybody else that we know in Tanakh. They want to kind of bring it, make it more real. Again, whether they believe this was true or not is a whole separate question. I think they're just trying, for the people's sake, to connect it. When you connect things, it makes it more real. Rabbi Tanai, okay, so Titania, here's a braita that shows it's a machlokat Tanaim. Rabbi Elazar amar Eov b'yemei Shvot haShoftim haya. How do we know he lived b'shvot ha-shoftim? Again, we're going to have literary connections. Shenemar, hein atem kuchem chazitem, v'lama zeh hevel te'abalu. Okay, here you all saw, and why are you going into hevel and all this stuff, right? Like licentiousness, etc. Ezedur shekulo hevel, harei omer, zedorosh ha-shvot ha-shoftim, right? If he's telling the people, you're all involved in this hevel, what generation was that? That must have been in shvot ha-shoftim, because they're right, everything is ish ha-yashar be'inav yaseh. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha omer, Iyov bime achashverosh haya. How do we know? There's a great proof. Shenemar, v'lo nimtza nashim yafot kibinot Iyov b'chol ha'aretz. They couldn't find beautiful women like the daughters of Iyov in all of the land. How would they know? Did they check, right? Did they check all the girls? Ah, there was a generation where they checked all the girls, right? Ezedur shenitbakshuna nashim yafot. Hevei omer zedorosh al achashverosh, right? In Achashverosh times, he gathered up all the beautiful women, right? And tried to find the most beautiful. So therefore, we must assume the Eovs were the most beautiful.
Except
they weren't the ones chosen, right? You could say he chose based on who knows what exactly. But yes, I agree. That's a bit of a problem that they weren't chosen. But there, again, whether this is literally meant to be, right? That would also put him in the time of the Galut. Ve'ema bimei David, what do you mean? In the time of David also, what does it say? Dechtiv, v'yivakshu na'ara yafa, right? For Shlomo, remember? Right? I think isn't that when Shlomo's about to die? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I meant the lead in Shlomo, right? When David's about to die, they look for na'ara yafa for him. So what did they see? So then they say, no, hata b'chol gvul Yisrael, hacha b'chol ha'aretz, right? There's a difference between, there they looked in Israel, obviously, right? They didn't look in the whole world. Rabbi Natan Omer, Iyo b'yimei machut shva haita. Okay, it was in the time of machut shva. How do we know this? Shenemar v'tipol shva v'tikachem. Okay, because it fell and then it was taken. I guess they're trying to connect that with the fall of Iyo.
Because they can take his cattle.
What?
Shva attacked and took Iyo's cattle.
Oh, right. Thank you. This is the pasuk in Iyov, right? I forgot. Yeah. It says, "Vatipol shva v'tikachem v'etanarim ikulu fichar." When all the bad things happened to him, it says that shva took it away from Iyov. So, okay, so that's another proof. Here we go. Chachamim omrim Iyov bimei kastimaya. In the Bavelim, when they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, because it says, "Shneamar kastim shama shlosha rashim." This is also from Iyov. The kastim also were part of this whole thing. It says, "Vayishetu al agmalim, vayikachum, vetanarim apikul apicharev." Obviously, it's difficulty, right, to say it's also machut shva and also kastim, right? If we're saying that shva means the time of makat shva and Shlomo HaMelech's time, and if kastim means the time of the Bavlim when they took over the Beit, right, destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, right, it could mean shva and kastim, but not that it's referring to those specific times. V'yeshamrim Iyov, here's an interesting one, bimei Yaakov haya, v'dina bat Yaakov nasani, married Dina. How do we know this? Obviously, we're going to connect to, right, nivala. K'tiv hacha, k'davar hata nivalot tidaberi. Okay, that's when it talks about Iyov. And then k'tiv hatam ki nivala savi Yisrael. Okay, so the same word nivala appears in both, so it's connecting it to the Dina story. V'kulu tanai sviralu di Iyov v'Yisrael hava, levad miyesh omrim. Okay, so now they say all the different opinions all say he was Jewish except for this Yesh Omrim opinion. Di'isal kadatach miyumot ha'olam ha'ava batar deshachiv Moshe mishar yashchina alavodat kochavim. If you say it was from umot ha'olam, once Moshe died, there were no non-Jews who had Nevuah. All the non-Jews who had Nevuah were in the time of Moshe, Bilam, right, presumably. After that, no non-Jews had Nevuah. V'ha'amar mar, Bikesh Moshe, why is this connected to the time of Moshe? Because Bikesh Moshe, Shelo Tishre Shechina Lovdei Kochavim, V'natan Lo, and God listened to him. And as Moshe asked this, and God listened to him. How do we know this? Shenemar, V'niflinu Ani V'amcha. He asked God, that was the pasuk we quoted before after the Cheda Egal, that I want us to be distinguished. And how are we going to be distinguished, they say? It must be through Nevuah. V'amar B'Yochanan, Doro Shel Iyov Shatuf B'Zima Haya. It was full of inappropriate relationships. Shenemar, hen atem kuchem chazitem, v'lama ze hevel te'abalu, uchtiv shuvi shuvi ashulamit, shuvi shuvi v'nechzei bach. It's said in Shir HaShirim that nechzei in a sexual manner. So therefore, they're saying also, because the sexual manner is mentioned there together with hevel havalim, we know hevel te'abalu, therefore it must be, there were a lot of things like that going on. Ema, when it says, Chazitem, maybe it means b'nevuah, dechtiv, chazon yishayo ben amotz. Im kein, lama zeh hevel te'abalu, but then the hevel te'abalu doesn't make sense. Okay, the hevel te'abalu lama li. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mai dechti vayibi imet ha-shvot ha-shoftim. Okay, when it says in root that it was bimei shvot ha-shoftim, dur she-shofet et-shoftav, omer lo tol kisam mi-ben enecha, omer lo tol korah mi-ben enecha. It's a door, bimei shvot ha-shoftim means a door that the people judge the judges. What does that mean? The judges would say, take this kisam out of your, I think it's bimei shinecha probably. It's changed too. Take this out of, right, there's a different gear, so it says, take this toothpick out of your teeth, meaning get rid of the bad stuff among you. But what's a toothpick? A toothpick is something small, right? To take a toothpick, right, out of your teeth is very small. But what do the people say to the shofet? Tol korah mi-ben enecha. Take the beam out of your eyes. In other words, you guys are worse than we are. Right? The judges say you're doing inappropriate things, and the people say back to the judges, you're worse than we are. Amar lo kaspei chayal sigim. Right, the judge says your money is run, right? What is sigim? We talked about this, where you put like fake stuff, mixed stuff in within the silver to make it look real, and it's not. It's counterfeit money. Amar lo savech mahul b'mayim. Your wine is full of water. In other words, you guys are much worse. Okay, last line for today. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, kol omer makat shva isha haita. This is a very strange line. We're going to end with this one. Eino ela to'eh. My malkat shva, malchuta dishva. Okay, the pshat here is, anyone who says malkat shva was a woman is wrong. It must be she was a man. Why is it called malchut in the feminine? Because it's talking about the malchut of shva, right? We generally talk about malchutyot in the feminine. However, the Maharsha says that it really, obviously, from the whole context there, it's clear she's a woman. There's no way, everything about her is said in the feminine. There's no way to say that it wasn't a woman. What it means is, anyone who thinks, it's like the opposite, she was just a standard woman, is wrong. You know, and some, I saw a commentary, even that she married, that she was a queen because, by rights of who she married. Stuck to the opposite. She was a queen in her own right. Now that she had her own zvuyot, and that's what he's trying to say. Dafka strengthening her rather than weakening her and saying, can't possibly, we would know she was a very strong woman. Okay? So again, to think about this Eof thing, we're going to talk more tomorrow about the Satan and get into the Satan and all that. But I think the rabbis, again, are trying to make Eof more real to people. Eof was a very complicated book, both because of the concept and also because of the words. Very difficult wording, very hard to understand. If you ever tried learning it, actually learned through the whole thing with my kids once. It's quite a challenge to get through every word. And I had to bribe them a lot with it. Again, we went out for ice cream to get them to do the last few before I came quickly. But in the end, they're trying to make people relate to him and connect him with other concepts. And again, there's a lot you could do here with trying to compare Eov to all these things they were talking about, to Shvot HaShoftim, you know, to the time of the Shoftim, to the time of David, to the time of the Meraglim, to Moshe, to Avraham, which is the one we're going to compare the most, really, which we're going to get to. Anyway, these are all thoughts. There's a lot more you can do with it. It's just a little bit to think about.